Psalm 103 will be our text of Scripture this evening. Psalm 103. I sure enjoyed our singing tonight as we've come to the fifth Sunday and the last Sunday for 2018. And good songs and thoughtful words. And it's a joy to have our visitors with us as well. Speaking of Psalm 103, we have come to the conclusion of our Sunday evening series, in which we have, for the year 2018, each week we have looked at a psalm from the previous week's Bible reading schedule. You know, it's one thing in January when you start that to make that proposal, to state your intentions, to say here are the plans. It is a rewarding feeling to have gone to the end of the year and what we have planned with God's help has been done. It's been helpful to me. I appreciate the good feedback that I've had from you, and we're looking forward in the year 2019, the Lord willing, to selecting some readings from our New Testament portion of our Bible reading, as well as incorporating some of our survey series that have not been seen here and studied here. As our brother Ratliff has said, this I've done in many other places, but not here in a while. And so we'll do some of that as well, incorporate that into our Sunday night lessons. Psalm 103 is a psalm of David. It has 22 verses. Let's read the psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives you all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. That's a great psalm, isn't it? A lot is said in those 22 verses. Mentioned this morning the concept of the soul of man when we were looking at references in Psalm 119. And here we have David, as it were, calling upon himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What does that mean? Is he just somehow trying to delineate here between his spiritual being and his physical being? No, he says, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That's with all his whole being to praise God. And he says that again in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. And it's interesting what he says, and forget not all his benefits. You know, David was inspired, but he recognized something that, upon reflection, we all know is true. We tend to forget. We tend to forget the blessings that God gives us. And so here we have a passage that says, forget not all his benefits. A reminder to think about all the things that God does. And then what he does is to list some of the things that God does. And guess what heads the list? In verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities? The forgiveness of sins. What a benefit. What a blessing. Here's a debt that we could never pay. And we've been forgiven by the Lord. Like the parable of the man that owed 10,000 talents. An astronomical debt he could never pay. And that merciful master forgave him all. And that's you. And that's me. I'm the one that was forgiven 10,000 talents. And you are too. Don't forget that. In the parable Jesus told, which is in Matthew chapter 18, there he's talking about people that forget that. He talked about the one who was forgiven, and yet he ran into one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 denarii, and he took him by the throat and began to choke him. Said, pay what you owe, and when he couldn't pay him immediately and asked for mercy, had him thrown in prison. And what he's saying is, you have obtained mercy. You need to extend mercy. And if you're unwilling to extend mercy and forgiveness, then you forfeit receiving mercy yourself. Don't forget his benefits. That'll keep things in balance when we remember how God has forgiven us. Heals your diseases. Redeems your life from destruction. And the Psalms so often talk about close calls, encounters with death, and yet God has heard and answered prayers. But in verse 4, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. That occurs more than once in here. And who satisfies your mouth with good things. The food that we have. All the things that God gives us. The blessings. You think about James 1:17 that tells us that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Paul said in Acts 17, verse 25, that God gives unto all life and breath and all things. Don't forget his benefits. That your youth is renewed like the eagles. It reminds me of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he says that the outer man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. It's the strength that God supplies. And even as one advances in years, to be able to be used by God to accomplish his purpose. But what we especially zero in on, beginning in verse 6, what we especially zero in the next several verses, really down through verse 18, is the compassion of God. And he introduces this by speaking of the Lord executing righteousness and justice, and in verse 7, making known his way to Moses. Now you might say, well, he's probably talking about the Ten Commandments or some of the other laws and ordinances. That's not really true. He did do all that with Moses. But the connection is, you look at passages in the context, and the next thing that he goes on to say is that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Remember when Moses said, show me your ways. When Moses wanted a more intimate encounter with the Lord, and the Lord said, well, you can't see my face and live. If there's a place in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you, and I'll pass by, and so you can see from my back the manifestation that God took. You remember that? And as he passed by, these are basically the words that he said, that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. You see, he made his ways known to Moses. He revealed himself to Moses, And the thing that stands out in that encounter, which is in Exodus 34, is how merciful God is. Again, the overall context is in Exodus 32, that's when they made the golden calf. And it's like, well, that just did it then. Well, they deserve punishment. But the Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. And he still proceeded with his plan to be with them and to take them to the promised land. You know, of course, until they got to Kadesh Barnea, and you know the rest of the story there. But I'm talking about here in Exodus 34 where that revelation is given. So look at the 10th verse. He's not dealt with us according to our sins. That is to say, if we received what we deserve, who could be saved? Because all have sinned. All continue to fall short of the glory of God. He's not dealt with us according to our sins. If he did, we would be permanently, irrevocably separated from him if he has dealt with us according to our sins. But he hasn't. And that's where that mercy of God comes in. And what the psalmist does is to illustrate. He makes several comparisons here to try to help us to see what the mercy of God is like. Here he talks about the incalculable distance and difference as the heavens are high above the earth. We just last week watched a documentary about Apollo 8. And that first mission where men were in the spaceship encircling the moon. And that was the first time that a photograph had been taken to show the earth rise and show what the earth looks like from that perspective. But you see the infinity, the distance, how high the heavens are above the earth. And he says, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. That's one comparison. And as far as the difference is from the east to the west, again, it's infinity. It just keeps going and going. And that is how far he has removed our transgression from us. Am I speaking for you when I say that the third comparison is the most effective of all? That's something that hits at our heart. I mean, we can understand his point about the heavens and earth and the distance and east and west, but when he says, as a father pities his children, that just brings a touch into the picture that we can relate to in such an intimate way. Now, again, this is saying with the natural affection that God has given each of us. This is just something, I know there are abusive parents and I know there are negligent parents, but that's not talking about this. This is talking about just as God intended, as we have that natural affection and love for our children. You love them. You're not wanting them to fail. You're wanting them to succeed. And if there's a problem, that becomes your problem. And Your heart is with them always. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. And I made the point before that you could look at that and think about it, and you know how you feel about your children. Dare I say grandchildren as well? You know how you feel about them. And so the intention of Scripture by using that is to look at that and say, you mean that's the way God feels about me? And the answer is yes, even more so. Because all of us as parents are imperfect, but our Father in heaven is perfect. But that's the comparison that he gives that we can relate to. I'm so glad that's in the Scripture. To know that the Father in heaven looks at me with that tender compassion as I do. And of course he says fathers, obviously the same thing would be true of mothers, but as we do toward our children and grandchildren, that touches my heart and it gives me encouragement and it gives me confidence. So great is his mercy, verse 11 says. I'm glad of that. These are verses that are here for our learning. They're here for our encouragement. And we should rejoice with all of our soul and bless God for his benefits. How great and wonderful is his mercy. How thankful we should be. There's another contrast. We are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, the flower of the field, so he flourishes. Death continues to come. And if we live that 70, and even if by reason of strength 80, and even beyond that, death is still inevitable. It's appointed to man once to die, but after this comes the judgment. So that comparison is like grass, like the flower of the field that flourishes, and then the wind blows, and then what happens? Well, the grass dies, the flower falls. But here's the contrast. It gets back to that mercy. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. So here's the thing that's eternal. And of course, God has made us such that even when the body dies, that the soul lives on. And of course, there is the resurrection at the last day. But he's just here making that contrast about what is transitory with what is not. What is transitory is life here on earth. What is not transitory is God's mercy. It's from everlasting to everlasting. So, his kingdom, verse 19, rules over all. We talk about Jesus being head of the church. We talk about Jesus being king of his spiritual kingdom. But he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And Jesus Christ is on the throne tonight. And his kingdom rules over all. That is, his reign, his authority is over all. Finally, what happens in the psalm is, and this kind of thing is elaborated a lot more Thomas, in the song you led us in a while ago, which is based on Psalm 148, where all of creation, item by item, all of creation is called on to praise God. Here's a shorter version of that. Bless the Lord, you his angels. You know, in Psalm 148, angels are called upon to praise God. And here they are as well. And angels are described. They excel in strength. They're strong. They do his word, heeding the voice of his word. That reminds me of Hebrews 1:14 that says this about angels. It says that they are ministering servants sent forth on behalf of those that are heirs of salvation. So God sends them forth. He gives commands, and they heed his voice. Bless you all his hosts, you ministers of him. Again, he's talking about the angels here. And then bless the Lord all his works in all places of his dominion. In other words, all of creation is called upon to praise God. And then he concludes just like he started, as the Psalms often do, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the lesson tonight. And we would encourage you to think about how you need the mercies of the Lord. And if you're still in sin and you're accountable, you know what you need to do. You don't need to think that there's just always going to be opportunities like this and you'll always be here to have such opportunities. While there is time now, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. There's danger and death in delay. If you know what you need to do tonight, surrender to the Lord in obedience as we stand and sing.